Here's a look at what's going on this week at Abundant Life. Are you ready to use your talents to serve the Lord while making new connections with others in the ALCF family? If so, don't miss Get In Sunday, a great opportunity to meet our leadership, get exposed to our growth groups, and discover ways to use your unique abilities at Abundant Life. Join us on January 13th from 12 to 1:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall and back parking lot for this great event, which also includes lunch. Get ready for our upcoming Mom's Time Out event, which takes place on December 13th from 10 a.m. to noon in the Fellowship Hall. It's a great place for moms with kids at home to get encouragement from one another and together learn how to glorify God in the midst of daily circumstances. The table topic for this meeting is sharing the heart of Christmas and includes a Christmas craft as well as discussion and prayer with mentor moms, worship, food, and fellowship. Child care is available, but please sign up in advance. Join us for Seniors Night Out, a great opportunity to meet and bond with other 50-plus seniors for a memorable night of fellowship, delicious food, a message from Pastor Brian, and worship led by Dr. Sweetie and family. The cost is $15 and advance registration is required. Christmas is a special time at ALCF. Our Advent series is already underway and concludes with our annual family-friendly Christmas celebration on Sunday, December 23rd, featuring our adult and children's choirs. Next Sunday is the last day to bring gifts for our annual Christmas gift drive that helps children separated from their families, including local youth, Angel Tree, a program supporting children of incarcerated parents, and military troops serving abroad. Stop by the table to pick up a gift tag and find out more about how you and your family can get involved through next Sunday.
Our Young Adult Sunday Meetup is a great opportunity for people 18 to 30-ish to connect and have fun with other young adults over lunch. Meet us at the center pillar in the lobby after service on Sundays, and we'll head out together to enjoy a tasty local eatery from 11:30 to 1 p.m.
The last Sunday of the month is now family-friendly. Safari Kids will be closed and your entire family is invited to join us in the sanctuary for our worship celebration. And in December, the last two Sundays are family-friendly. To sign up for any of these upcoming events, go to alcf.net/signups or check out the ALCF app. And remember, Abundant Life exists to make a better you for a better world.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you that you have given us breath and you've given us life and you've given us the privilege of being here in your house to worship you. We pray that you would visit us in a special way in this moment. God, as we're about to look at the incredible joy that your advent brought on the people who witnessed it, I pray that you would fill our hearts with the same joy. The angels told the shepherds that they had good news of a great joy that was for all people. And that was not just for the people who were alive 2,000 years ago, but that is a joy that is for us today. And I pray that you would make us feel that, feel the reality of that joy, because for a lot of us, God, we wouldn't describe our lives using the word joyful. But we can have joy through you. Now, I pray in this moment, God, that you would speak through your word to us. I pray that for all intents and purposes, I would disappear and only you would be seen, because we are here only to worship, glorify, and magnify you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Welcome back. Good morning. Not bad. This is the second Sunday of Advent, which I'm thrilled about. We put our tree up this week. I suspect as I came up on the stage with my Bible in hand, many of you who were here last week thought something along the lines of this guy again. And I get it. It's what my kids think every morning when they get out of bed and see me waiting in the living room. I want to take this moment, because it's the last time I'm going to have the opportunity to preach before the end of the year, to just express to you once again how grateful Beth and I and our kids are for how you have welcomed us, how you have loved us, how you have encouraged us and treated us like we are part of this family. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you. We are so happy to be here, and we look forward to a wonderful 2019 with you. So let's put the focus back on God, where it belongs. 1990, I was in the third grade. There was one thing and one thing only that I wanted for Christmas, and it was a Nintendo. I wanted it more than you could ever imagine. My Christmas list that year was one item. It was a Nintendo. My friends all had them. I wasn't that cool of a kid, but I knew I'd be a lot cooler if I had a Nintendo, and so it's what I wanted. Now, I knew Nintendos were not cheap, and so I wasn't sure that my parents could swing it, but I knew Santa could. And if not Santa, I was pretty sure Grandma could. So two out of three gift givers, I liked my odds. We always went to my grandparents' house in Massachusetts, came down the stairs Christmas morning, you know, tons of presents under the tree. As they started being distributed and piles being made, and I saw my pile, I analyzed every package, and there were a couple that looked like the right shape and the right size to be a Nintendo. Now, as I started opening gifts, let me just describe to you my emotional state. It went from something like anticipation to questioning to fear to doubt to despair. It was a puzzle. It wasn't a Nintendo. And as all the presents were finally unwrapped, I could barely contain my disappointment. And my grandmother asked me, "Gary, did you get everything you wanted?" And I sheepishly mumbled something about I had kind of wanted a Nintendo. And she goes, "That's funny. There's one more gift here that was hidden behind the couch, and it has your name on it." And I yelled as I opened that gift because the joy inside of me could not be contained. Now, I am not endorsing video games one way or the other. I rotted a significant portion of my brain and wasted years of my life playing Super Mario Brothers. But the joy was real, and I can tell that you can feel it even now. Our passage today presents us with a situation very similar to the story that I just described. If there is one word that could describe the text that we're about to read, it is joy. Joy, joy, joy. And I know that's kind of corny because all of Advent is about joy. And I don't want to steal the thunder of the folks who are going to preach in the weeks coming after me. But this text, it is all about joy. Now, for those who were here last week and may have forgotten, or for those who were traveling last week and weren't here, we looked at the passage that talks about Gabriel visiting Mary and telling her that she's going to become pregnant. And we saw in that passage a few things about God, that he calls unlikely people. He calls unlikely people like Mary and like you and like me, and he calls them into mission for him. And then when he calls people into mission, he empowers them to fulfill their mission. So that is the lead up to what we're about to look at in today's text. So if you will join me, Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 39. That is Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, as I said, this passage is all about joy. There are three characters that we see in this passage. They are the first three people in the entire world to experience Emmanuel's presence, to experience Jesus. And all three react the exact same way, with unadulterated, unbridled, exuberant joy. The problem is for most of us, we don't feel that joy. When we look at our lives, when we take an inventory of how we feel on a daily basis, when we get up, when we have our coffee, when we go to work, when we come home, joy is not usually the word that comes to mind. But it can be, and I think what our text is going to show us is that it should be if we know Jesus. Because Jesus is the source of true joy. And we're going to unpack that as we look at this passage. Three things we're going to look at as it relates to Jesus being the source of true joy. The first is this: God turns our sadness into joy. We're going to see that in this passage. Secondly, we're going to see that our joy sometimes can be misplaced. And then thirdly, we're going to see that true joy is found in Jesus. God turns our sadness into joy, though sometimes our joy can be misplaced, but true joy is found in Jesus. So, last week we did our best to enter into the narrative, to try and see what Mary saw, to hear what Mary would have heard, to as best as possible think about what Mary might have been thinking about, and I want to do the same as we pick up the narrative again today. Meet me back again in Luke 1, verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Now, this phrase, with haste, means that this happens pretty soon after the angel Gabriel visits her. But what we're going to see in the rest of the passage is that what he promised has happened. Somewhere between verse 38 and 39, Mary conceives. We don't know why she went to visit Elizabeth. They were related. Most likely they knew each other, but maybe not. Maybe the angel told her to go, or maybe she heard the news that she was pregnant, and Mary was so excited she wanted to go celebrate with her. In any case, the hill country of Judah, 60 miles south of Nazareth, would have taken Mary between 3 and 5 days to get there. When she gets there, she enters the house, and she greets Elizabeth. Pick me up in verse 41. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting, so Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting, the baby leaps in her womb. Now, hold on to that, because we're going to come back to it. It's referred to twice, and we're going to unpack it the second time we get to it. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. A couple of things we need to notice in this verse. First of all, just background on who is Elizabeth. We met her in the first part of Luke. She's married to a priest named Zechariah. We're told that they are old, that they're righteous before God, and that they've never been able to have a child. Gabriel visits Zechariah, the same angel that visits Mary, and he tells him, "Your wife is going to conceive." And sure enough, she does. And when we meet her here, she's had this baby growing inside of her for 6 months. So, when it says that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, that is something that we could do a long study on what does that mean. We're not going to do that this morning. Suffice it to say, in this instance, what that is indicating is that what comes next is not something that Elizabeth thought of herself. She's filled with the Holy Spirit, and these are God's words that she is speaking as she blesses Mary and the baby that is growing inside of Mary. There is divine weight to this blessing that Elizabeth gives to Mary. Now, verse 42, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now think about Elizabeth. She is an old wife of a priest in a society where women did not get a lot of respect. How often do you think she yelled? She doesn't have kids. How often do you think she yelled? The answer is probably not often. But she's yelling here, and why? Not because she's mad, because she is so happy. She is opening a Nintendo on Christmas morning. But it is 1,000 times better than that. Think about it with me for just a moment what what Elizabeth's life probably felt like up to this point. It was a source of great shame in their culture not to be able to have a child. But they did not have the kind of medical care that we have today. And some of you who have struggled with or are struggling with fertility can attest to this. Generally, it is not a diagnosis that you get in an instant. It is something that you start to figure out over a long period of time. And so Elizabeth would have gotten married to Zechariah with all the hopes and dreams of having a family. But over the years, as no child came, the hoping and the praying and then the starting to question and then starting to fear and then starting to doubt, and then at some point, maybe 10, 15 years down the road, finally the reality would take root that there is no child coming. I suspect when Elizabeth looked back over her life, there was a gnawing sense of disappointment that life had not turned out the way that she had hoped that it would. But not only that, that's her as a person. Think about her in her with her countrymen, with her people, the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel, when we pick them up here in the New Testament, is in shambles. This nation, which once had the promised land given to them by God, doesn't even own the promised land anymore. They're living under Roman occupation. And for generations, they have been waiting, waiting, waiting for the promised Messiah to come and in their minds liberate them from the oppression of Roman occupation. So this is a double whammy for Elizabeth. This is a twofer. And it shows us that God turns sadness into joy. This is a crude analogy, but it will speak to a lot of us here in the Bay who work in a for-profit business. Imagine that you worked at the same company for your whole career. Imagine that you came early, you stayed late, you did good work, it was always on time, if not early, you got along with everyone, you had a good attitude, but year after year you saw your peers and your coworkers get promoted, get recognized, get bigger bonuses. And then in the year you announce you're going to retire, you find out that you've been made a partner at the firm. That doesn't happen, but for you it does. Think about the excitement, the joy that that would bring. Now imagine 6 months later, you find out the company's going public. That's a twofer. Take that joy, multiply it by a million. And that's what we're talking about with Elizabeth here. God turns our sadness into joy. And this room is full of people who can attest to that. This room is full of people who can look back, as Pastor Brian would say, in the rearview mirror of your life and see, I used to be addicted. I don't know what, to whatever it is, drugs, alcohol, your phone, your work. But God came in, turned everything upside down, and now you have a joy that you couldn't have imagined in your old life. Some of us look back on our old life and all we see is fear and anxiety and depression. Not ever being able to imagine that you could experience something called joy. But God came in and he turned your life upside down and now you have a joy that you couldn't have imagined. Some of us look back and we see anger and bitterness and frustration. Never being able to imagine that we could experience something called joy. And yet God has come in and he's turned your life upside down and now you have a joy that you couldn't have imagined and you couldn't have even explained in your old life, because God turns our sadness into joy. And if you're sitting here today and you haven't had that experience, my encouragement to you is come to Jesus, because this is how he works in people's lives. He turns them upside down and he turns your sadness into joy. That's what the story of Elizabeth shows us. But here's the thing, and we need to just address this up front. There are a lot of you sitting here today, and I get this, who are saying, that's not true. God has not turned my sadness into joy. I sure would like him to, but what he did for Elizabeth, he hasn't done for me. And so don't stand up there and tell me that God turns sadness into joy when I haven't experienced it. Well, let's keep moving through the passage and see what God has to say about that, because I think we're going to see in the next verse that we look at that sometimes we misplace our joy. Meet me in verse 44. This is Elizabeth continuing to talk to Mary, and she says, "For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Now, this is John the Baptist, who is in her womb. She's 6 months along, and we're told earlier in the passage that the baby leaps when Mary greets Elizabeth. But here, she adds that the baby leaped for joy. What was John's, think about last week's sermon. What was John's mission? What did God call John to do? To point to Christ. And as one commentator said, in this moment, this is the first time he is fulfilling his mission, to point to Christ. John, even though he hasn't even been born yet, when Jesus enters his mom's living room, cannot help but jump for joy. But we need to read this in the light of John and Jesus' entire relationship. So, I'm not saying that this joy is not real. It is real. But as we see, as John gets older, some things change in how he views Jesus. Hang with me, and I'm gonna show you what I'm talking about. You see, as John grew up, he came to see Jesus the way that most of the Jewish people saw Jesus. And that was, they had been waiting for a deliverer from Rome. We know in hindsight that Jesus is the deliverer. He's the deliverer from sins. But the Jewish people were looking for a deliverer from their oppression. And Jesus wasn't going to be that deliverer. That's not the Messiah. That's not the kind of Messiah that he came to be. And so, what we see in Luke chapter 7 is that John the Baptist is now in prison. The king has put him in prison because he doesn't like what he's saying and he doesn't like what he's doing. And John the Baptist sends two of his guys to Jesus. And look at what he asks Jesus. This is in Luke chapter 7, verse 20. And when the men had come to him, that is to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? This is John the Baptist. This is the one who saw Jesus walking along the Jordan River and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is John the Baptist who baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. And when he did that, the heavens were opened up. God the Father spoke audibly and said, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. The Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descended on Jesus. John the Baptist saw that. He was there. And here we are, maybe a year later, at most 2 years later, and he's in prison, and he's saying, are you the one? Or should we wait for another? Why? Because Jesus had not met his expectations. So I want you to take some comfort from that. I want you to take some comfort from that if you struggle with doubt. Because John the Baptist doubted, and he saw it all. Sometimes our joy can be misplaced, especially when our expectations are not met. I do most of my shopping online, as I'm sure a lot of you do, and a lot of people in my generation do. The problem with buying things online, as you know, is that you can't see the item that you're trying to purchase. You can't touch it, you can't turn it over, you can't put it on and try it on. So what do you have to rely on? Online reviews. And that's a scary place to go. The ones that I find to be the most ridiculous are the ones that go like this. So if you're on Amazon and you're looking at a Timex watch, it's $29.99, and you scroll down to the reviews, and you see someone has rated it 1 star, said they will not recommend this to someone else, and the reason is, this watch does not have GPS functionality, and it did not read me my emails or send text messages. Well, of course not. It's $30. What did you expect? Or you see something that clearly is labeled, this is a two-man tent. And the first review is 1 star, won't recommend this to anyone else. This took me 2 hours to set up, and my wife and our 4 children would not fit inside of it. Well, it's a two-man tent. What did you expect? When your expectations are not met, there can be frustration. And that's what we see when we misplace our joy. See, a lot of us are pretty excited to see 2018 come to an end because it's been a crummy year. A lot of us are ready to see the 2000s come to an end because it's been a crummy millennium. And we're not going to be around for that, but we wouldn't mind seeing it end anyway. Because listen, let's go straight to Elizabeth. Some of us are struggling with fertility. And all we want is for God to come in and give us a baby. And he hasn't done it. Some of us want nothing else than to get a new job that pays more money. But God hasn't come in. And he hasn't done that yet. Some of us have cancer. Literally, every week it feels like I find out about someone else in our congregation who has been diagnosed with cancer. Some of us are struggling with cancer, and we want nothing more than for God to come in and heal us from that cancer. And he hasn't done it. Some of us have a child who is making decisions that we did not teach them to make. And we want nothing more than for that child to come home. But God has not come in and done it. And so when we hear a story like this, and we hear a preacher get up in front and say, God turns our sadness into joy, we're like, he's not done it. He hasn't done it for me. But what I think this text is showing us, and when we look at the breadth of John the Baptist's interactions with Jesus, is that the problem more often than not is we are placing our joy in the wrong things. Because, as this last verse is going to show us, true joy is found in Jesus. True joy is found in Jesus. Meet me at verse 45. This is the last verse of Mary, or of Elizabeth's blessing on Mary. And she says, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Blessed is she who had faith that God would do what he said he was going to do. And what is it that God said he was going to do and that he did? Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Now, the astute among you will look at this verse and say, Gary, there is nothing about joy in that verse. Look at that second word where it says blessed. The linguistic scholars of the New Testament tell us that what that word means when it is used in the New Testament is this. It refers to the distinctive joy which comes through participation in the divine kingdom. That word blessed means the distinctive joy which comes through participation in the divine kingdom. Now look, that is the same word that Jesus uses when he opens up the Sermon on the Mount and he gives the Beatitudes. Matthew gives us a long version of it. Luke gives us a shortened version of it. If you look, we've got a slide for it. If you look with me at Luke 10, 20 through 21, it tells us that Jesus lifted up his eyes on his disciples and he said, blessed are you who are poor. You have distinctive joy when you are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now. You who are hungry now have distinctive joy, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now. You have distinctive joy if you're weeping, for you shall laugh. Do you see what I'm getting at? It is not in the stuff that Jesus does for us that we find our joy. It is in Jesus himself that we find our joy. So because of that, you can have joy when you are poor, when you are hungry, when you are weeping, because joy does not come from those things. It comes from Jesus Christ himself. This is a little bit like, it's easy to do this in relationships. And I'm going to use Beth as an example, my wife, but it's true of friendships, of parents, of children, of significant others. It is easy in a relationship to start looking at what does that person do for me, and that's how I'm going to derive my joy from the relationship. So if I start looking at Beth and I start thinking, does she cook well? Does she always look good? Does she tell me the things I want to hear? Does she buy me the things that I want? What am I doing? I'm setting myself up for disappointment because that's not where the joy in the relationship comes from. The joy in my relationship with Beth comes from the fact that she's mine and I'm hers. And outside of the Lord, there's no one else whose presence I want to be in. The joy is in the relationship itself, not in the things that she does for me. And it is the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our joy comes from the fact that our names are written in the book of life and that there is hope beyond the trials, the tribulations, and the frustrations of this world. That is why we can join Mary and John the Baptist and Elizabeth in experiencing joy, because we know Jesus. Jesus says to his disciples in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Christians should be the most joyful people in the world. They should be the most joyful people in America. They should be the most joyful people in the Bay. But sadly, so often we are not. Because, and look, I am guilty of this more than any of you, because we're looking for our joy in the wrong places. I'm looking for it in how I look and how my health is and how my job performance is and what I think other people think of me. But we should rejoice because our names are written in the book of life, not because of any of those other things. Jesus is the source of true joy. I don't have a slide for this. It just came to me earlier today, and I want to share this with you as our hope for joy in this life. This is from Revelation chapter 21, and I'm not sure anything paints a better picture of why we can be joyful here today than this. Revelation chapter 21, starting in verse 1, says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold,'" look, we got another loud voice, just like Elizabeth, "'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man.'" That word for dwelling place literally means tabernacle. And when we look at John chapter 1, when he describes the incarnation, he says, "The word became flesh and dwelt among us," literally tabernacled among us. And here it's happening again. The first advent is reason for joy because, as Jose so astutely pointed, it points to the second advent. You could miss the first advent. You will not miss the second advent. "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Our joy is not found in what Jesus does for us. It is found in Jesus himself. As Cormac and the band come, I want to close with this. I want to circle back to a passage, or to one of the phrases that we didn't really spend much time on in this passage. It's in verse 42, when Elizabeth tells Mary, "Blessed are you among women." And then the next thing she says is, "Blessed is the fruit of your womb." Now, this is the only time in the New Testament that this phrase, "fruit of the womb," is used. It's used maybe about a dozen times in the Old Testament, most of those times concentrated in Deuteronomy chapter 28. What is the context for Deuteronomy chapter 28? The Israelites are finishing their wilderness wanderings. They are on the precipice of the promised land. And Moses is repeating to the Israelites, reminding them what the blessings are if they obey God, what the curses are if they disobey God. In that moment, he essentially says this: if you obey God, if you are faithful to the law that he gave you, the fruit of, or the, your land will produce plentifully, the fruit of your womb will be blessed, and your enemies will crumble before you. But he says, if you disobey God, the land will dry up, it won't produce anything. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, and your enemies will destroy you. And as we know, that's exactly what happens. Why is Israel carried off to Babylon in captivity? Why is the nation of Israel in shambles as we come to it in the New Testament? Because they couldn't obey God. They could not obey the law. No one could do it. And so they suffered the curses of the law. But do you see what God is doing, what Elizabeth is telling us when she says, "Mary, the fruit of your womb is blessed"? No other Israelite child ever could have been said that they were, the fruit of their womb was blessed. God in his holiness and omnipotence could have cut Israel off because they broke their end of the covenant, but he didn't. He sent one who could fulfill the covenant. He sent one who the fruit of the womb was blessed, because Jesus was the only one who could obey God, and he did it. He lived a perfect, sinless life, lived up to every aspect of God's law, but then what did he do? He took the curse on himself. He was the only one that didn't deserve the curse, and he hung cursed on a tree in our place, so that as the wrath of God was poured out on him, it was not poured out on us. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, because he is the only one who can pay the penalty for sin, and he did it. And that is why there is joy in his advent, because God came in and he turned everything upside down. And we don't have to fear death anymore, because Jesus has defeated it and he has reconciled us to God. True joy is found in Jesus. Now, as members of the prayer team come down, we are going to move into a time of communion, and we're going to multitask as we do this. So, I want to give you an opportunity. If you feel the Spirit of God moving in your heart and you would like to be prayed over, if you are sitting here thinking, I don't know joy and I want it, and that might be because you know Jesus, but you are struggling with him not meeting your expectations, or it might be because you don't know Jesus and you want to experience the joy that comes with knowing him, I want to invite you down to meet with one of our prayer counselors and be prayed over. At the same time, we are going to move into communion. Please stand. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Now, God, we thank you for this time. God, we ask, as David did in Psalm 51, that you would restore unto us the joy of our salvation. We pray that as we leave here today, God, the reality not only of what you have done, but the hope that we have to look forward to would fill us with joy that would be evident to everyone around us. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you sent your son to take the curse, to pay the penalty we couldn't pay, so that we could be reconciled to you. We love you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You are sent.
Here's a look at what's going on this week at Abundant Life.
Are you ready to use your talents to serve the Lord while making new connections with others in the ALCF family? If so, don't miss Get In Sunday, a great opportunity to meet our leadership, get exposed to our growth groups, and discover ways to use your unique abilities at Abundant Life. Join us on January 13th from 12 to 1:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall and back parking lot for this great event, which also includes lunch.
Get ready for our upcoming Mom's Time Out event, which takes place on December 13th from 10 a.m. to noon in the Fellowship Hall. It's a great place for moms with kids at home to get encouragement from one another and together learn how to glorify God in the midst of daily circumstances. The table topic for this meeting is Sharing the Heart of Christmas and includes a Christmas craft, as well as discussion and prayer with mentor moms, worship, food, and fellowship. Child care is available, but please sign up in advance. Join us for Seniors Night Out, a great opportunity to meet and bond with other 50-plus seniors for a memorable night of fellowship, delicious food, a message from Pastor Brian, and worship led by Dr. Sweetie and family. The cost is $15 and advance registration is required.
Christmas is a special time at ALCF.
Our Advent series is already underway and concludes with our annual family-friendly Christmas celebration on Sunday, December 23rd, featuring our adult and children's choirs. Next Sunday is the last day to bring gifts for our annual Christmas gift drive that helps children separated from their families, including local youth, Angel Tree, a program supporting children of incarcerated parents, and military troops serving abroad. Stop by the table to pick up a gift tag and find out more about how you and your family can get involved through next Sunday.
Our Young Adult Sunday Meetup is a great opportunity for people 18 to 30-ish to connect and have fun with other young adults over lunch. Meet us at the center pillar in the lobby after service on Sundays, and we'll head out together to enjoy a tasty local eatery from 11:30 to 1 p.m.
The last Sunday of the month is now family-friendly. Safari Kids will be closed, and your entire family is invited to join us in the sanctuary for our worship celebration. And in December, the last two Sundays are family-friendly. To sign up for any of these upcoming events, go to alcf.net/signups or check out the ALCF app. And remember, Abundant Life exists to make a better you for a better world.